Perhaps you've seen some smoke rising from an area of forest over the past month or two, and yes, it was a fire. But the fire was intentionally set, and it serves an important ecological purpose. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment, a regular part of our Wednesdays during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Prescribed burns, as they're called, take place every spring in Washtenaw County. This round of prescribed burns will come to a close at the end of the month. With us to discuss the issue this morning is David Borneman. And David is the Natural Areas Preservation Manager for the City of Ann Arbor. David, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Well, let's start here. We spend a lot of time, effort, and expenditure to prevent fires in our woodlands. Why are we intentionally conducting these controlled burns?
Good question. Fire has long been a part of our landscapes here. In this part of the country, most of the fire historically was started by Native Americans. People think about lightning strike fires, and that's more common out west. But here in the eastern U.S., where things are more humid, fire has been an important part of our landscape. And because of that, all our native prairies and woodlands and wetlands have evolved with fire over the millennia. And fire is a very effective restoration tool for restoring our native ecosystems and discouraging some of the weedy plants that are moving in.
Well, I would assume that when these burns are conducted, the animals in the area, out of instinct, leave the area. Are animals at all endangered where these burns take place?
No. The burns are, I guess the first thing to say is that when people talk about forest fires, you may have an image of the Yellowstone fires from 1988 out west and huge plumes of smoke and really dense.
Raging out of control.
This is not that at all. Very different ecosystem for one thing, and our fires are just not done under those kinds of conditions. So even in the forest, these are burns that only burn through the leaf litter, and the flames are a few inches, a foot or so tall, and they're often moving back into the wind, moving fairly slowly. And all the heat doesn't hurt the trees at all. It's only meant to burn up the leaf litter, or if we're in the prairie, to burn up the prairie grasses. And that's enough heat to benefit the native plants and to discourage the weeds that are coming in, but it's not enough heat to damage the trees. And the fire is not hot enough or moving fast enough to harm wildlife. So anything that can crawl or fly or walk out of the burn area will be safe. The heat doesn't go down into the ground at all, so if an animal that can burrow down into the thatch, even an inch or half an inch, will be fine.
Well, thus the definition of a controlled burn. That is obviously very controlled. Nonetheless, when you're dealing with fire, particularly over an expansive area, there is that potential that it can run away from you. How many people typically take place, and how do you make sure that that doesn't happen?
Sure. Well, we're fortunate here in the Parks Department to have a lot of volunteers that we've trained over the years. We do a burn training every spring in late February and train those volunteers to help our staff to help do these burns safely. A typical burn for us may have anywhere from 6 to 12 or 14 people helping out. Some of those are watching the fire and carefully controlling it. Others are watching the smoke to make sure that the smoke is not an issue on the local highways. Other people are doing PR for us, helping to answer questions from the passerbys.
If I were to visit the area in the days after a prescribed burn, what would it look like?
So immediately afterwards, you would see an area that was all black, and you'd think, oh my gosh, this is charred and looks like it's been destroyed. But in just a few short days, this time of year, a little bit of rain, even the very next day, a lot of that black ash will have blown away, and the area doesn't look quite as barren and black. And then over the course of about a week, you'd see new shoots coming up and new growth coming back. Oftentimes, a burn like that jump starts this spring by removing that insulating layer of thatch that is on the ground. It lets the soil heat up more quickly with the sun. So those new plants spring up right away. Within 2 or 3 weeks, you'll have a hard time even knowing that there was ever a burn there.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and our guest this morning is David Borneman. And David is the Natural Areas Preservation Manager for the City of Ann Arbor. Today we're discussing the importance of conducting prescribed burns in our area forests and woodlands. Now, can you paint us a word picture of perhaps what these forest areas or wooded areas would look like if the prescribed burns were not used?
Sure, because most of our woodlands around town here have never had the benefit of fire. So unfortunately, people growing up here in the 20th century and 21st century oftentimes have an image of our forests of being just a dense layer of greenery, a dense thicket that you can't even walk through. That's not at all what our forests used to be like. The early settlers that came to Ann Arbor, we have lots of descriptions from people passing through the area in the 1820s that describe this open park-like setting where One of the quotes was, passage was obstructed neither by bushes nor by fallen trees.
And is that because of natural occurring fires or the fires set by the Native Americans?
Exactly. A fire was the regular tool that the Native Americans used to maintain those open forests. So take fire out and fast forward 100 years or so, and now the forests are very dense and very thick. So if your view of an urban woodlot is one that's very dense and you can't walk through it, you couldn't ride horses through it, it's that closed in, that's not at all historic. A more historic version would be what you might see at some of our parks now that have had the benefit of fire, places like Furstenberg Nature Area, that are now very open and you could easily walk through. The trees are spread 20 or 30, 40 feet apart, and there's a lot of sunlight that comes in to the ground and supports grasses and wildflowers growing underneath those trees.
Can we assume one of the major threats to these areas are the non-native species of plants? Is that entirely a product of human behavior, that these non-native species have infiltrated our woods?
Yeah, it really is. Historically, there would have been some natural movement of different species around the globe, but it would have taken place at a very slow pace. Our modern society, we have whole industries built on people going to other countries and importing plants that they think would do well here and be attractive for the ornamental nursery trade, or people historically brought in plants from the old country for all sorts of reasons. There's other species that come in accidentally, things like the emerald ash borer,
sure,
for example. So yes, all of those invasive species are things that we've brought here one way or another.
Once the burns are complete, is there a system of analysis used to determine the effectiveness of the burn and the overall health of the area?
Sure. A prescribed fire, and the whole name prescribed fire or prescription fire, implies and suggests accurately that these burns are done for a specific reason. They've been prescribed by restorationists that this area would benefit from a fire to meet certain objectives. And oftentimes those objectives in our areas are about controlling non-native invasive plants, oftentimes setting back some of the non-native shrubs that are coming in, things like buckthorn and honeysuckle. So we can go back to the site after the burn a few weeks later and check and see if we really had the effects that we intended to have. Were we burning hot enough? Were we burning slowly enough? And so we can check and make sure that we're getting that we are achieving the results that we had hoped to get.
Now, you've been doing these prescribed burns in Ann Arbor for 20 years?
This is our 20th
season.
20th season, yeah.
How would you rate the overall health of the wooded areas today as compared to 20 years ago when you started?
Great question. I have to admit, I'm originally a farm boy from Illinois, and I never thought I would find areas of very high quality in a city like Ann Arbor. I guess I envisioned a lot of vacant lots that were grown up with weeds and things. We certainly have some of those, but I've been really amazed and impressed with the high quality of our natural areas. So the areas, and part of our work has been, there's about 1,200 acres of undeveloped parkland in the city, and one of our main jobs has been to help prioritize and identify those areas that are the higher quality that would really benefit from fire. An area that's just full of weeds would be harder to restore with just fire alone. But areas that are really intact, except for these invasive species coming in, can really benefit from the fire. So those areas that we've been burning on and off over the course of 10 or 20 years have really improved in quality. We've had cases where state-threatened plants come back to a site after a burn, so they're healthier than they were 20 years ago.
David, thank you so much for your time today. I truly appreciate it.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
That is David Bordeman. David is the Natural Areas Preservation Manager for the City of Ann Arbor. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a cooperative production of the Washtenaw County Department of Environmental Health and the News Department at 89.1 WEMU.